Welcome to North State Give and Take. My name is Bobby Tryon, and I do pre-recorded interviews with nonprofits here in the North State and with local folks who have information about things that we probably all want to know about. Today on North State Give and Take, I'm going to interview a retired dentist and a friend of mine, Dr. Joe Stricker. And I wanted him to give us some information about our mouths, because we know our teeth are important and we know about cavities, but what I want to talk about with Joe today is about our gums. And, you know, just to clarify some of those terms that we hear about our gums, which is gum disease, periodontal disease, gingivitis. Joe, are all of those the same thing?
Well, you left out one of the older terms that I used to hear my patients use a lot. They'd come in and they'd tell me how their gums are bleeding, and they were worried that they had pyorrhea. I'm not familiar with the history of the term pyorrhea. I don't know where that came from. But periodontal disease is really the name that we call it now. Gingivitis is a mild form of periodontal disease. You know, in the last 10 years, there's been more concern and attention and hopefully valid research done in connecting gum disease with systemic disease also. But it just kind of makes sense that here's your body fighting this chronic inflammation and infection.
Before you go on, let's really say what is happening with it. The word plaque comes into mind, pockets. These are things I hear people talk about. What actually is it?
Yeah, that's a great idea. So there's hundreds of different kinds of bacteria in your mouth. Some don't cause any problems, but there's seven or eight that are linked with gum infection. There's bacteria in your mouth. They cause irritation, and your body is fighting that presence of that bacteria. They live in the plaque that forms on your teeth. Plaque is three things. It's saliva, food, and bacteria. And so the bacteria eat the food that gets stuck on your teeth. They produce this protein and they create this little sticky blanket that sticks to your teeth. And so then they're growing and living in this blanket on your teeth. Your body doesn't want them there, so it starts to battle them and fight them off. So that's what inflammation is your body's response to bacterial invasion. This inflammatory response is what causes the breakdown of the attachment between the gum and the tooth.
So let me ask a question there. So yeah. You've got the plaque. Does it kind of settle more around the base of the tooth? And is that what dental floss tries to move every day?
Yeah. Here's how I used to talk about it is look at your fingernail. Your fingernail pops through your skin and you can kind of pull the skin back around the edge of the nail. There's a little space between the skin and the nail. The same thing happens in your mouth. The gum, the tooth pops through the gum and the gum is attached to the tooth, but there's a little space all the way around the tooth. And that's where the bacteria live, is in that little, you might hear the word sulcus. You know, when you go to the dentist, they measure all the pockets in your mouth.
Yes.
You hear those numbers, 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, bleeding here.
Yes.
You know, so we measure, that's where the plaque begins, is in that the sulcus, the little space between the gum and the tooth. And so the plaque then starts there, gets a little foothold, and it starts growing up the tooth. And it does climb up out of that sulcus, and it climbs up the side of the tooth. So brushing and flossing is how you can get rid of that plaque buildup. If it sticks to the tooth long enough, it actually absorbs calcium out of your saliva and forms a hard layer. And that has a couple names, calculus. And so that's what the hygienist and the dentist are getting off your teeth when you're getting your teeth cleaned. They're going in and scraping off the plaque and scraping off the calculus.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. And so that I don't forget this part, because I want to bring it in. Best thing for that would be dental floss each day, getting right down in there between the teeth. But what about on the edge of the tooth? Now, does a water pick help with that?
Yeah, I'm a fan of water picks. They don't replace brushing and flossing, but they certainly can be a really good aid to helping.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What I've tried over the years, I've kind of landed on one regimen, one technique that I would tell people over and over and over and over. So I'll share that.
Okay.
I recommend floss first. And so, you know, click it down in between the teeth, put the pressure of the floss against each adjacent tooth, and then click it out. Don't just click down and click up. That's not flossing. You have to click it down between the teeth and either wrap it around the tooth or back and forth, but keep pressure on one tooth and then pressure on the other tooth. And so take your time and do that around every tooth. Then wash your hands. Then rinse with hydrogen peroxide. Swish, swish, swish. It kind of foams up. It feels maybe a little tingly, a little burny. Swish, swish, swish. Don't swallow it. Spit it out. Then brush your teeth. 2 minutes. I like the electric toothbrushes, Sonicare.
But I know people really say those electric toothbrushes are especially good. But yes, and certainly hand brushing is just
hand brushing is totally adequate. But yeah. Just take your time and make sure you mm-hmm. do 2 minutes at least.
Okay.
And so if you do that, those three steps: floss, rinse with hydrogen peroxide, spit it out, brush your teeth for 2 minutes. Do that mm-hmm. once a day. You're mm-hmm. gonna get healthier. So okay. You could add a water pick to that. And so I like to recommend maybe a blend of water and hydrogen peroxide in your water pick.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are good things for me to know, because this last year I kind of got on it. You know, I had some pockets and those things were happening. And so I'm glad to hear you say that I need to do the flossing as well as the water pick, because I think I sort of thought, the water pick's doing it, but I get that. So
it's the elbow grease. Put the floss in the brush does is it gives you the elbow grease to clean the stuff off.
Okay. Let's talk about the actual process of that disease. So the plaque builds up, okay, mm-hmm. on people. And it seems as though some people somehow have more plaque than others. Mm-hmm. Is that another thing that's part of this?
That is a huge point. People will go to the dentist for years and they're on their 6 month cleaning and they, you know, and they're fine, but they always have a little bit of bleeding, little bit of, you know, it never goes away. Oh yeah, I just always build up plaque. I always bleed. But here's the part that's been coming up lately for me in the last 10 years.
Go ahead.
More attention is being paid to the bacterial component of the gum infection. And to the extent that they now have available DNA testing of the saliva. So you can identify not only the types of bacteria that you have in your mouth, but the amount of bacteria. And it's selective for these 7 or 8 strains that are more related to gum infection. And so you can it's not covered by insurance. It feels like a moneymaker when the patient comes in, hey, we're going to test your saliva and find out. Some people will have a higher count of the more aggressive bacteria. And in those cases, then, and again, it feels like a money thing again, but you can treat it differently. Instead of just cleaning your teeth every 6 months or 3 months or 4 months, you test and then you come back with this information and then you target with certain antibiotics and then with certain mouth rinses and different cleanings, maybe more frequent for about a year. And then you're going to test maybe at 6 months and 9 months again to see if you're influencing these bacterial populations in your mouth.
It sounds like the bacteria plays a big part in that. Is there something about the pH or whatever in your mouth that would make you be somebody who makes more plaque?
Well, it's diet, it's genetics, and it's hygiene. You know, it's just where those three circles intersect. You know, if you're not brushing your teeth, if your mom and dad lost their teeth when they were young people, maybe there's a genetic tendency for you to carry these bacteria. Here's the thing that maybe grosses people out, but it's definitely contagious.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about it, of course it is. When you're a little baby and your mom picks up the pacifier and puts it in her mouth and gets it wet, then puts it in your mouth, that's actually a good thing. That's how we build our own immunity. We get exposed to different bacteria in the world. We're out in the yard, we're picking up dirt, we're eating dirt. That was my history, but that was That might not be everybody's history. And so kissing your spouse, that can cause a transmission of the bacteria. And so maybe you started out with a low level of this infectious gum and causing bacteria, but then over the course of your life, you develop it. So that's where the testing, I think, has value.
I know that there's some connection or things said about that bacteria and heart disease, and being that the bacteria somehow can get into the heart. I mean, I know that when you have periodontal disease, that is a problem.
They've cultured oral bacteria from heart vessel disease, the plaques that build up in heart vessels. Yes. It's kind of funny that they call those plaques also.
Yes.
You know, it's not related to gum infection by the fact that they've called it plaque, but that is what the physical process is it's a plaque that builds up inside your heart vessels.
And just to kind of wrap up that whole idea of bacteria in your mouth and back to that idea that your health suffers from it in ways that we don't completely know, because that's always a fight that's going on in your body.
And that's what periodontitis is an inflammation. And it's just one more inflammation that's piled inside our body.
Right.
So here comes too much Taco Bell and too much McDonald's, and here comes not brushing your teeth enough. And then maybe you're smoking, maybe you...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sugar, and I'm hearing, you know, everyone always says sugar, sugar, and not to get down the road of where sugar comes from. But in this case, it's not even necessarily the sugar. It's the bacteria and the buildup of the plaque that holds the bacteria in your mouth.
If the bacteria don't have any fuel, then they can't grow as much. So
sugar
the
feeds them.
Sugar is a component. And more refined sugars than I'm really not that concerned with how much rice or spaghetti people eat on the level of that we're talking about as far as gum infection.
Okay.
I'm more concerned with the level of soda and Gatorade.
We'll take a little break here with our pre-recorded conversation with retired dentist Joe Stricker, talking about gum disease, also known as periodontal disease, what it is, and what we can do about it. We'll return to our interview with retired dentist Joe Stricker. We've been talking about periodontal disease, what it is. We're going to go into some of the treatments for periodontal disease. I want to go into the process where the plaque, and this is what I have thought, and you can clear me up on this. So the plaque goes down, gets under the gum. That's when we're talking about deep pockets, talking about that surgery that people go in and get that plaque taken off. And then talk about what happens if that's not done. What is that surgery when they go under the gum and scrape?
Okay. Yeah. So the treatment of gum infection. So that original description that I gave of how the tooth pops through the gum and there's a seal where the gum is attached to the tooth, but there's a little space all the way around. So the result of a chronic infection in that area from the buildup of the plaque causes that seal to break down. That's where we get a deeper pocket.
Yeah.
A healthy space. There's no such thing as zero when you're having that measurement done in your mouth at the dentist. There's a space there. One, two, three, those are healthy spaces. Fours, fives, that's early gum infection. That's an early breakdown of that attachment. Six, seven, eight, that's a more advanced stage of gum disease, 10, 11, 12, then you've really lost not only a lot of attachment around the between the gum and the tooth, but you started to lose the bone around the tooth. Generally, the gum will stay up high around the tooth, even though it started to lose this attachment. So when you look at it, sometimes you can't appreciate that you've got this infection because it looks about the same. Only when it's get really advanced do you actually start seeing the gum to recede also. And so the treatment then is you have to clean the bugs out as much as you can because the bugs cause the problem. And so a surgical approach is the most predictable way to clean the bugs out. So the doctor will open up the gums, clean all the junk out, clean off the sick diseased tissue, close it back up, and then it will all heal again. And the goal is to try to create this shallower space that you can clean. Because our toothbrush and our dental instruments can only go 1 or 2 millimeters into that space. So if you've got a 6 or 7 millimeter space, it's never being cleaned. So the surgery does two things. It helps eliminate the disease and it helps eliminate those deeper pockets.
Yes. Hmm. And has to be stitched up, and it's quite an involved surgery.
Sure. You need to suture the gums back into place to have it heal up better.
Yeah.
And the mouth is a very exquisitely sensitive place. So it can be tender. You can be sore afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a tribute to our mouth that it can sustain that level of infection and disease, though, and not cause us pain. You know, yes. And so here we think of the treatment as the painful part, but really you have this incredible infection going on constantly. And so it's sort of a, in my mind, a evolutionary thing that our mouth can withstand this level of disease and not hurt because we have to eat.
Yes.
So if it hurt right away, then we'd have to figure it out
something.
And we couldn't eat. And so we would have trouble surviving.
If you don't do anything about it, it goes down into the bone and the bone pushes the tooth out.
Yeah. The more advanced the gum infection is, the more bone loss you have, the more loss of attachment between the gum and the tooth that you have, the looser the tooth gets. And then just the force of chewing will rock the tooth back and forth.
Okay.
So then it becomes kind of a vicious circle. So, mm-hmm. You know, the gum infection makes the tooth loose. The chewing aggravates that looseness, and that causes more irritation and inflammation. And so then the tooth just sort of gets worse. People will adapt and they'll avoid that tooth and they'll chew soft foods and they'll stay mm-hmm. away from it. And then it mm-hmm. doesn't hurt. So then, I'm okay now. But mm-hmm. you got to get in there and you got to treat the infection. You can't mm-hmm. just treat it by a different diet or not chewing on that side. That doesn't help it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess people probably confuse it with a cavity being a totally different thing.
No, decay is a bacterial process also that the bacteria causes acid and causes breakdown of the enamel. They continue to grow inside there and produce more acid and a cavity gets bigger.
Right.
So it's also a type of bacterial infection, but it's
just
different.
In the tooth.
It's in the tooth.
Yeah.
And different bacteria, different bugs.
Yeah. Okay.
So and so when I keep using the word infection, and we sort of have gotten used to the idea, infection, take antibiotics, and infection will go away.
Yeah.
But that isn't the case with these infections.
Periodontal disease infections.
With periodontal disease.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sometimes it also has a smell to it. In advanced stages.
Yeah. Right. A really advanced stage will have a pretty bad odor to it also.
You know, the thing that's so sad about it is that for some reason, dental work and dental treatment is expensive and often not on insurance. Mm-hmm. So I can see, and nobody wants to go to the dentist. So mm-hmm. you put all that together, people ignore it. And like you said, it doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. So you ignore it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I probably disagree, but you don't need your teeth to survive. You mm-hmm. know, if you can't ignore that you've got a blocked coronary artery, you're generally going to go along with what the doctor tells you to have a stent placed or to have surgery to replace your artery, but you know, oh, this tooth has got to come out. Okay.
Yeah.
Take it out. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true. People it just kind of let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Eventually, like you said, they all get pulled. If nothing's done eventually, or they fall out.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
or the other. Yeah.
It's yeah. a quality of life issue more.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of depends on where your values are.
Yeah, exactly. So you can rein it back in. So a pocket is found and the discussion Absolutely. Starts happening. You can definitely pull it back even before the stage of having to have the scraping. You go in and they say, oh, you've got a 4 or 5 here. You get on it and start working on it. Will there be reattachment or how does that work?
There is a point of no return. You can't turn a 5 or a 6 back into a 1 or a 2.
Okay.
But you can maintain it and keep it from getting worse. Yeah, you can come in for more frequent cleanings, but it requires, and so right, insurance probably won't cover sometimes for people.
Right.
The number of cleanings in a year that would help them keep their teeth longer.
Yeah.
And so then they have a choice. Well, I'll only do the cleanings that the insurance will pay for, or I'll pay for 1 or 2 times a year out of pocket. So yeah, it is a problem.
Now, what about kids? And when does this start to become more of a problem? I mean, is this happening with kids?
Well, we touched on it. You're going to get inoculated as you grow up with the different bacterias through first from your parents and your siblings, and then in high school with kissing, and then later in life with your partner. So your whole life, you're developing your bacterial flora that you have in your mouth. Your diet, I like to talk to parents about how kids, I call it their sweet meter. So from 0 to 5, watch what you give them. Just try to really, really rein back all those sweets, because after 5, they're kind of programmed as to what tastes sweet and what doesn't. And it'll determine then in junior high or high school when they're reaching for something to drink, if a soda just, no, it tastes too sweet, because they are too sweet and they're too acidic. But if you've been brought up drinking that, then that's what's satisfying for you. And a glass of water isn't satisfying for you. You feel like you have to have that because your sweet meter has been dialed in at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the diet and there's the genetic and the local bacteria in there. And so then the third circle is hygiene, you know, how well they're brushing and flossing their teeth.
Okay.
So it's just there's so much to do as a parent to try to cover all
so
the bases.
True.
All right. Make sure you floss their teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
So now do kids actually, can they get pockets too? And are kids' teeth being cleaned as much as adults? And do they have periodontal disease?
So it's not just a disease of adults. It's mostly a disease of adults.
Yeah.
There is a juvenile periodontitis form
okay.
that can occur in kids, in high school age kids.
Okay.
So it can be treated. It can be stubborn. It can cause tooth loss, but it's more of a genetic related issue than diet and hygiene.
Yeah. Okay.
Good brushing and flossing is always going to be important.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, and like you said, good flossing, that means you got to hold that kid down and do, like you said, on each side of the tooth. I mean, it's just a battle.
It's great when you get some dentists around and the moms are talking about their new babies and, oh no, I just don't want. And the children's dentists are in the conversation too. And he goes, yeah, as bad as you feel like you're being a bad mom by forcing them down, you're going to feel 10 times worse when you bring them to the dentist and I tell you they've got 10 cavities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, hold them down.
It's a chore. It's one to work
on battle.
For sure.
It's a battle.
So before we close, Joe, I want to go over one more time your best practice for people to prevent and work on periodontal disease.
Yeah, every day. Floss first. Floss all your teeth. Click the floss in between the teeth. wrap it around each tooth, and I don't care if you're going back and forth between the teeth or up and down, just do something. Go in between the teeth, go back and forth, up and down, and do every tooth in your mouth. Take your time, look in the mirror, see, yeah. You know, find, yeah. You learn your own teeth. Some are tighter, yeah. Some are looser. There's different kinds of floss. There's really a whole world of options for you to get right. Really good at flossing.
And to do it right against the tooth, not just going down in the space, but lean it right into the tooth.
Right. That's yeah. How you can get into that little space, that little gap between the gum and yes. The tooth, is hold the floss against the tooth and slide it up into the gum.
Yeah.
Don't push so hard and don't saw like you're sawing into the gum. I've seen that. People will, I go, wow, show me how you floss. And they'll slam the floss in and they just saw right into the gum. And you can see these little cut marks that are just a chronic, it's not bleeding or anything. It's just a little defect in the gum from their floss, over flossing. So don't over floss. Okay. Floss all your teeth, wash your hands, then rinse with hydrogen peroxide, take a cap full, swish it around, swish, 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 30 seconds, spit it out, then brush your teeth. Do that every day.
Great.
Because those bacteria that grow where there's no oxygen, this is what's going to really help keep that population of bacteria down. Mm-hmm. And where the ones with oxygen, those are the ones you can reach with the floss and the brush. Mm-hmm. So okay. You're working on two both. Different types of bacteria with the hydrogen peroxide.
Can you do that once a day?
Yeah. I like full strength hydrogen peroxide. So you buy yes. It's what you buy at the pharmacy. It's 3%.
Okay.
Don't swallow it, swish it around. Some people don't like the flavor, and so sure, dilute it half and half with water. Mm-hmm. But right. You know, it's still, to me, it tastes just as bad when you've diluted it half and half with water. So yeah. I just use full strength.
And it must bubble up and go crazy in there.
It foams and bubbles and goes crazy. Yeah, yeah. It attacks everything in your mouth.
Okay.
And then brush your teeth. So There's other solutions that you can rinse with. What about mouthwashes? Any of the non-alcohol ones, Cepacol is an old one. It's actually got an extract of a root. So it's a pretty good one.
Okay. Do all of that once a day. If you feel like you need to brush in the morning, you could do sort of a quick brush in the morning to kind of clean your mouth. But at some point in the day, do that whole process.
Yes. A brush in the morning is a great idea. Right. Here I am saying once a day, once a day, once a day. But I like the brush in the morning to certainly break up the bacteria that have had a chance to grow overnight. Because during the day, you're talking and moving your tongue around. And at night, you just close down. And that gives the bacteria a chance to grow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much, Joe, for talking to me about this. It's such a topic. Just as you get older, just like everything, it just seems as though different health things keep coming up. And this conversation I've had quite a bit with people in that, oh, I've got a pocket or, oh, mm-hmm. I've, you know, and it's becoming, right. You know, something.
Yeah. In your 60s and 70s, that's when, oh, and now I need this. Yeah. I've been going to the dentist twice a year for 40 years and now I need this. See, well, that's because you do.
Yep. Yeah. And if you're younger out there, then take heed. This is the time to start the prevention of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. All right, Joe, thanks an awful lot.
Yeah, you're welcome, Bobby.
I've been talking with retired dentist Joe Stricker, and we've been talking about gum disease or periodontal disease. If you would like to listen to this again, please go to kzfr.org, go to programs, go to Tuesdays, and go down to North State Give and Take. You can see any of my shows there. And you can leave a comment as well. I wish you would. And thanks for listening to North State Give and Take. And come back next Tuesday at 6. And stay tuned now for Ginger and Radioactive.